Joni, how you doing?
Good. How's everyone?
I'm good. Slay?
Yeah, Tim? I'm great.
Joni, you're doing double duty today, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's start off with the first thing I had. We'll talk about the block party later. I know that myself and Slay, and at the time, 18-wheeler, we were able to do, I remember getting a phone call from Slay. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, Joni wants to do this incarcerated parents thing, and but it's going to take 2 hours. And at the time, we were only doing a one-hour show. It was once a week. It wasn't even once a week. It was like twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the fourth Wednesday and the first Wednesday. So we ended up doing it back-to-back, and it went really, really well. And to see what came out of that, like, I'm really happy and I'm proud, and I'm glad the captain is here, and I want to give you guys the applause.
The clap.
I'm going to give you guys the applause.
The clap.
I'm supposed to be the clap, but Ray ain't here.
Well, thank you.
So talk to us about that, Joni.
Sure. So if we think back to that radio show, that was really the first community conversation around this issue. And I want to recognize a special guest we have today, Saria, because Saria actually came to us, as you well know, because you were quick to point it out.
Yeah, well,
through the radio show. And now she's with us as an AmeriCorps volunteer, and she's been just a huge part of the Greater Hudson Initiative for Children of Incarcerated Parents, which was born out of, you know, the very early work that we did. And we were just to give it a little bit of background on that, we were lucky enough to form a strong partnership with Captain Lanphier and the Columbia County Jail, because we recognized early on that if we want to make changes within the system, we really have to be partnering with the folks that have the ability to make those changes.
Correct.
So we've known each other now, Captain Lanphier, over a year. And started our partnership there with the county jail. And we did a couple of forums to raise awareness and a couple of trainings to really just shed light on how incarceration impacts children and what are ways that we can support them through programming and policy changes, so that they are not, you know, experiencing this in silence and that they're actually getting the adequate supports that they need. So, and I just want to say, though, that last Friday was our first round of child-friendly visits, and we couldn't have done any of that without the support of Captain Lanphier and the sheriff at the Columbia County Jail. So I just really want to recognize them for all their hard work. They actually wrote a policy to change the protocols to allow for this special type of visiting, and it really, we saw it in full effect last Friday. I was a hot mess. You can ask Captain Lanphier. I was boo-hoo crying.
Can I give him a clap?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, sorry.
So maybe I'll just let him describe things from his perspective. But that's sort of the work that we've been doing. We've been meeting every month with a group of folks, and we recently decided that this was a priority we really wanted to focus on. So
okay. We
actually have made a significant change. And I think we're one of the leading counties in New York State to do this. So it's really exciting, and we've been getting quite a bit of attention for it. So,
okay,
Captain Lanphier.
Yeah, okay. I want to ask the captain some questions. So if we could just pass it over. And these are what we call warm-up questions to make you feel at ease. When the idea was presented to you, was this something that you automatically jumped on board, or did it take some convincing? And, you know, maybe did you need some, because Joni's a really big numbers and da-da-da-da-da type of person. Did she have to present that to make you want to do something like this?
It started back in October when we had the forum at the college. And at that point, I kind of sat there and listened through most of the forum as it was going on and didn't say anything. But then I kind of felt like, I don't want to say law enforcement, but corrections was being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of stood up or raised my hand and said, you have to understand that for corrections, it's a mindset change. Our job is to maintain safety and security for the public, for the inmates, for visitors, for everybody. I said, that's what COs are trained for. What you're asking now is a totally different thing for us to think about. So at that point, you know, I kind of said, you know, we're willing to look at it, but you have to remember this is not going to be an easy change. Mm-hmm. Joni invited me to start coming to the monthly meetings, which I started going. She has this habit of playing these heart-wrenching videos.
Yeah. Oh, we know.
That's her.
So I started thinking about it a little bit more and said, you know, one of the things that was my thing is this isn't necessarily about the inmates. It's about the children. And a lot of times, whether the parent's guilty or not guilty, the children are another innocent victim that has to deal with this. So I kind of looked at it from that viewpoint that, you know, let's not focus on the inmates while it is a positive thing for them, but let's focus on this for the kids and what we can do for them. And the more I thought about it, the more I was on board with it. I talked to the sheriff after we first discussed it at one of the meetings, and he had reservations. Mm-hmm. You know, his first thing was, we're going to have people coming in. They're going to be directly interacting. You know, any correctional facility, you have an issue with contraband coming in. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, we want to work on it with the Greater Hudson Promise neighborhood, which we did. He said, you can take the ball and run with it and see how it goes and then come back to me when you have things worked out. And as time went on, I wanted to try to get this in place before the school year started so we could do our first visit before school started. It's a little bit easier with kids not being in school right yep. now. Mm-hmm. So, as Joni said, her first visit last week, she got emotional, as did the kids mm-hmm. and the father. The kids were actually a little emotional just with the fact of finally being able to see him because they hadn't seen him, I think, since November, right? Yeah. So it was nice, yeah. you know, from a different point of view from corrections.
I want to ask you what you kind of mentioned earlier, but what special changes had to take place in order to bring the kids in? Are the kids going into a regular visiting room just like a regular mm-hmm. visitor, or are you sectioning off a section where they just have the visit there? I mean, if you can share that information.
When I first took over, we had what we call supervised visitations, which are court-ordered, mm-hmm. and they're done through the Department of Social Services. So when I first took over, one of the things that I didn't like was the kids were actually coming into the facility and sitting in one of our conference rooms where everybody's around. So if we had an incident, we had to hurry up and get everybody out so we could go deal with the incident. And I didn't like that. So we started working on what we could do to change it. And we came up with using one side of our visit room. And I mean, if anybody goes to the sheriff's website, I think there's pictures. But basically what it is one side the inmate comes in, there is a half of a plexiglass wall. The inmate sits on one side and the visitor sits on the other. So there's really no contact other than a hug and a kiss at the beginning of the visit. So what we did was we purchased pretty much portable picnic tables. Mm-hmm. We put them on the visitor side, and then we have everybody go in on the visitor side and they sit at the table together. So when we started talking about doing this with Joni, I said there's really no reason why we can't do the same thing. So what happens is the inmates, they actually bring in the table, set them up, do everything. We allow the visitors to come in. They have to go through a screening, mm-hmm. same as everyone else. They go in and sit down, and then we bring the inmates in to actually have the visit with them. And then there's a corrections officer and someone from the Greater Hudson Promise neighborhood in there.
Okay. I'm going to piggyback. I have two more questions. I'm going to pass it off. The screening. I remember I might have been like 14 or 15 years old, and one of my older friends, he used to work at Coxsackie Correctional. Mm-hmm. So we used to go over and play basketball against the inmates.
Yep.
When we went in, it was the same kind of treatment. No matter how old you were, you got the same kind of treatment, the pat down and everything like that. Do you guys kind of change the screening for the kids? I mean, still make sure that there's nothing there, but I mean, with the loud doors and stuff like that, that could be effective to them in some way in the back of their head. And also, is this visit a privilege or a right? Meaning, let's say a father is planned for a visit and an altercation happens. Does he still have this visit, or is this something that he earns so that it's a system working with itself? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we're going to offer you this, but you have to follow protocol. If not, this is not going to happen.
All right. To answer your first part, yes, they have to go through the same screening.
Okay.
One of the things that we wanted to try to do, and we weren't able to do it on this visit just because we did it in a kind of a short period of time, is actually bring the kids over ahead of time. Okay. Kind of walk them through what's going to happen, walking through the metal detector and all that. We weren't able to do this time. I made sure I was there. It's our first one. I wanted no hiccups. I wanted everything to go well. We walked the kids through. We talked to them. I think they were comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't think there was any, you know, they were a little nervous. Obviously, you're going into a jail, so they were a little nervous. But I think overall it wasn't a traumatic experience. But in the future, we're hoping that maybe a week before, or at least a couple days before, we can bring them in, explain what's going on, and take it slow. Part of the policy that I wrote covers that.
Mm-hmm.
I go back, safety and security. That's our number one thing. Obviously, we're hoping nothing ever happens with this, but we have to require them to go through the same steps mm-hmm. and everything else, which we did. I think it went very well. I mean, the metal detectors, the kids go on a trip. It's kind of, you know, it's not as big of a deal anymore as people used to. You know, they weren't around with everything that goes on in today's world. It's kind of thing. As far as a privilege, yes, it is. It's while visits are right, this is we went through two different titles. I finally settled on enhanced. I didn't like the expanded. It's an enhanced visit. It's something above and beyond. So an inmate can request it, or a family member can request it through the Greater Hudson Promise neighborhood or through our community service worker that we have. And then they're screened. It's based on their charges, their behavior, any mental health concerns, a number of variables. We don't want anyone to go in there and then have something happen.
Okay.
So that's, again, I go back, again, safety and security. If someone had a visit scheduled on a Friday and on Thursday they got into a big fight, they're not going to have their visit. So the hope is it's an incentive that mm-hmm. someone's going to say, hey, you know, let me just walk away from this instead of, you know, actually getting into a fight or getting into some type of an altercation.
Hmm. Slay?
First, I want to commend you, you know, for allowing this to take place, because if you think of, like, the way these conferences and meetings go, like, if you're already taking offense, you know, to things like, you're like, man, I'm not going to help this lady in her agency. Like, I don't have to do this while she's sitting up here. And I'm pretty sure Joni said 1,000 times, research shows. So I know you're probably sick of hearing that. But what was the light bulb moment that made you say, you know, let me give this a try and see? Was it, you know, the boo-hoo video clips that she plays, or was it just something that, you know, was inside of you that you wanted to do?
I don't know that it was one thing that, like, was a trigger that said, I need to do this. It was everything together.
Mm-hmm.
I just, again, it went back to the kids. I mean, I have kids. I have grandkids. So I've dealt with family members that have been in the jail, and I know how their children dealt with it, and it mm-hmm. wasn't good. That was something that kind of was in the back of my mind also, was how they felt when they were in there, the concerns that they had. And then when I was at the meetings, I was hearing the same thing in the videos, and I was hearing the same things when people were talking about it, of how the kids felt trying to go for a visit. And I mean, one of the things we did many years ago was, used to be if someone had a newborn child or whatever, we would allow them to hold them.
Yeah.
And in another county somewhere, there was an accident and a child was hurt, and the county ended up getting sued, so all the counties kind of stopped doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought about someone who has a newborn baby or a young baby, and they're not able to. You have no interaction.
Yeah.
You know, you give them a kiss when you walk in and you give them a kiss when you leave, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there was one event or one thing that triggered it. It was, as you said, Joni. and just the idea that maybe this could do something for the kids to make them feel better. And I'll be honest, after seeing Thursday, I know it was a good decision. I mean, the sheriff came out, met with the kids. He actually had met the inmate earlier and knew who he was, so he was familiar with him. And actually, like a couple days before that, he was out in the rec yard, and he was talking to him. And I said to him, I said, he's the one that's going to have the first visit on Friday. So he started talking to him about that. He likes to... I guess he's into soccer. So mm-hmm. he was out there kicking a basketball. So the sheriff went, was talking to the kids, telling them he calls them Pele. I think the sheriff seeing the kids, I think he realized, you know, the sheriff he's got young kids. He's a family man. And I think when he saw the impact that it was having on the kids, I think, you know, it made him realize that it was a good thing that we were doing.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing because it humanizes the officers and the COs, where you see a different side, you know what I mean? Like you talked about, you know, having kids and the sheriff having kids, and that's a big side that, you know, the media really doesn't portray, especially with everything that's going on between officers and, you know, the black community and things like that. So, like, I'm very happy that something like this was, you know, able to happen, because things like this should get a lot more. What's your overall goal of this program? Like, what would you like to see it go in the future?
Well, this is part of a kind of a bigger, I don't want to call it a project, but a bigger thing that we've been working on. One of the things when we were at the forum in October was everybody kept saying, we should do this, we should do this, and we should do this. And one of the things that when I finally had said, okay, I've got to speak my mind, and people that know me know I will speak my mind, was I said, it's fine to say that we need to do all this, but we don't have the funds to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have someone to work on all these different, I guess we would call them social programs. I don't have that. So as part of the thing that we started working on with Joni, we started working on getting a community service worker in the jail. We worked with Michelle Ublocker and DSS, and now we have a DSS worker assigned at the jail to coordinate all of the things for someone who's incarcerated, whether it's treatment that they're receiving while they're in the facility, things that happen when they first come in, or if they're being discharged, being able to work with them on making sure they have a place to go, if they need any type of assistance, rather than getting out and not having anywhere to go, no food stamps, no money, no nothing. They're all set up before they even walk out the door. And we were able to do this, and it didn't cost the county. It was like 1% of the salary or something, because it's completely reimbursed by New York State. So the impact on the county is negligible. It doesn't cost the county anything. So we were able to do this. It's been going on for probably 2 months now. And I constantly see a parade of inmates going by my office into her office, and she's constantly dealing with things. So I think it's working out very well. And talking about the cost of the county, I did get a phone call last week after the article was in the newspaper. Someone was very upset about it, about the program.
Of course.
But it wasn't probably for the reasons that you're thinking. Their concern was the cost to taxpayers.
No, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And there is no cost.
Mm-hmm.
I have my officers there. If we're not doing these type of visits, we have other visits that go on. We have other things that are going on. So, you know, I do have an officer assigned to sit in there, but if he wasn't sitting in there, he'd be assigned to do something else anyway. So there is no cost to the county taxpayers for this. It's above and beyond what we have to do, but, you know, we're able to do it. So.
Okay, so Joni, you also brought along, and Joni, we love you. You know we love you. But we didn't get any compensation for this hire.
Yeah, for this hire.
We didn't even get a shout out.
We didn't get a shout out and thanks. You just took her. Called her one of your own.
I think you did it today because you were under pressure. You knew we were going to say something. So, let's talk about it from the other side, because we got a chance to talk to the captain. And I'm going to give the captain, sir, I'm going to give you the applause. They don't like me giving out the applause. They want me to call it the clap. But I'm going to give you the applause. I mean, because that was
you
well
said. You got a gun, so we probably going to give you the applause.
Yeah, work with me, man. No, he was good. And I'm glad they're doing that. One of the biggest phone calls that we had since we've been on the radio, and we've been on the radio for about 4 years, mm-hmm. was the phone call that you made during the 2 week episodes of Incarcerated Parents. And it was so real.
Yeah. Like,
and
introduce yourself first. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Saria.
That's how you say her name, by the way. Yeah. She's one of the Promise Girls.
We call her shout Promise out. Girls. Yeah.
Right.
Talk about what this means to you. Because During the show, you spoke about it,
mm-hmm.
but just talk about, like, just being a part of it and to actually, you know, working to make it happen. Because one of the things that I look at, and I think we all think about this, when people are incarcerated for whatever, and one of the things that the captain said, he made me feel really good inside. If it was church, I would have just said amen.
Amen.
No, why? Because he said whether they're guilty or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
And I respect that, because that was the PC thing to say. A lot of people over there feel they're not guilty. Mm-hmm. All right. But that was great, and I respect that. But for you to see this happen and to be a part of it, one of the things we talk about is rehabilitation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the mindset says you do the crime, you do the time, but while you're doing the time, you need to be rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. You need to have some kind of resources like education, job mm-hmm. search, or anything that's going to help you get better. Not sit you over there and gain weight and come out
right.
behind.
Yeah.
You look at the situation as, you were on the phone call, what, 2 years ago maybe, I think it was? A year ago.
A year ago,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How's that make you feel? Knowing that not only did you call in, you know, you talk the talk and you walk the walk. And now here we are.
Yeah. I can say I was definitely placed in the right spot. I couldn't be more than happy to be a part of this program for experience. For one, the 3 years that I was incarcerated, I never got to see my kids. So in order to help other families and kids, you know, go through seeing their parents, because it's important for kids to see their parents, whether they're guilty or not guilty, because the impact that it does have on kids, you know, and the kids are probably thinking my parents are in prison or jail and not knowing what it's all about. Like, they want to not see it for, like, okay, is it a movie? Like, you know, the prisons that you see on movie and stuff like that. So it also eases their mind, and it's so important for kids. So I'm just so glad to be a part of the program. And then when Joni was describing the first visit to me, how it went, it brought me back to when I came home after 3 years of seeing and surprising my kids the first time seeing them in school. So I'm so happy to be a part of this program.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I mean, we might need a little 5% of
that
check.
Yeah, 5%. I mean, can we get a finder's fee or something?
Yeah, finder's fee or something. Just like a little something. But so how much were you involved in working with Joni in this program?
Well, I do every meeting that we have. So mm-hmm. we kind of put our ideas together and see what we can do to make the program happen. And with Captain Lamphere and... We went through a lot of those months of trying to get it together, so.
Were you nervous at all? Like, you know, now you just came from being incarcerated to now you're working side by side with officers.
No, not nervous at all.
I was nervous with him sitting here. I was a little nervous. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, did I let her outside or something? Maybe so.
No, not nervous. Not nervous at all. Yeah, okay. He does.
All right. So I have a question, and I'm going to play devil's advocate. There will be people that say, hey, you committed a crime, and I don't think this program is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Like, do you guys in your forums talk about how to deal with I mean, people have the right to say whatever they want. It's the freedom of speech. But there will be people that won't agree with this program. Mm-hmm. You know, it's people that don't agree with inmates having any college education or anything like that. So, I mean, and I'm just saying in an overview, how would you personally deal with that? If you was a hair or if you read in a Register Star and, you know, people comment and they sometimes people just say stuff to just get other people upset, how would you handle that?
Right. Well, my action speaks louder than any of that, you know, and everybody makes mistakes, whether, you know, but like I said, my actions and what I'm doing in the community to help, you know.
So for the other side of the equation, like V just said, there's some people that think it causes childhood trauma for the children to visit, you know, their family member who's in jail. Like, what do you think about that since you know firsthand with your own children?
No, I don't think it causes trauma. I'm trying to think of another word for it. I don't know. Really, I'm thinking my kids were okay with it, but it's just important that they see the bond and, like, they have to, they go through things, you know, just like you go through things, not to see your kids, and it's important that they see them all the time, rather. You know, and I think the biggest problem is like transportation and having that visitation right to do so. Why a lot of kids don't see their parents.
Mm-hmm. I'm still playing devil's advocate, and I, you know, I love y'all, but we have to do it. Some people might say, if your kids meant that much, you wouldn't have committed the crime.
That too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All I'm saying to you is, how do you respond to something like that?
It's all right. It's all right, they can say what they want, but I still have a right to see my kids, whether I did something wrong or not. I didn't wake up the next morning and say, oh, I'm going to prison. Well, I'm not, you know, it was just a thing that happened. So they can't determine that, whether I can't see my kids or not.
How would having a program like this have helped you during your incarceration?
It helped me by the community a lot, because I wasn't ever close with the community like I am now. Like, I know everybody. Everybody knows what I does, and it's just a close family knit thing where when people see me, they be like, oh, Miss Siri, I know you from. You're doing such a good job, and that's what I like to hear everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a good feeling.
Because when I was watching Orange is the New Black, man, them kids came. Those kids came.
Yeah.
Yeah, it touched me, too, man. I was like, listen, you got to do good. The Spanish lady, I was like, you got to do good to get home to the kids.
I remember that episode.
I wanted her to make it.
But yeah, it helped me get close to the community.
He's so stupid, man.
Man, well, act like y'all didn't binge watch.
No, I definitely did. I remember the exact episode. I felt bad. I would say the same thing. We just want to thank you guys, first of all, for coming back in and talking to us and helping us spread the word of all the great things that you guys are doing, but also for actually doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We sit in some forums, and we actually know what it takes to actually to get something up and going. And then to actually have your first, like, when I saw that, I was just so happy for y'all. Mm-hmm. I was just so happy for everybody. And I was really happy because, like Slay said, at this time when our country is going through, and to say, like, wait a minute, you know what? People work together if you present them with things to work together. And it was hard work. I know you guys had to work hard. You had to be consistent. And we continue have to be consistent and work hard. But the effort. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got to give you the clap and the applause because I'm proud of the system, and I'm proud to say that we were a part of jumpstarting this program. Yeah, we're taking some credit, Joey. I'm sorry. But no, seriously. I remember the phone call. I got the phone call maybe like 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and Slay was saying, hey, Joni got an idea. This is what we should do.
Yeah.
And Joni knows whatever she needs from us, we're there to back her 100%. And
I know this time last year, I didn't think it was going to happen. I did the forum also, and I was just like, I don't think so, but it happened.
You guys were great, but I got to say, and I'm not saying this just because he has a gun, but the captain was the best. The reason why I want to say he was the best, he was 100% honest and upfront. I asked him certain questions because I would, looking at it like if it was me, and I would not be on board with it right away because of the same thing that he was saying, safety, security, and stuff like that. But the way that he broke it down to us, claps and applause for everybody, man. It's just a great day. It's a great day in Hutt City, man. I'm happy.
It's just good also to see, you know, officers and, like, the correctional facility included in the community because there's been so much of those silos where it's, like, the school district and the community, the officers and the community, when the community is supposed to be all of those in one. So, you know, this is a good venture that, you know, shows collaboration and shows, you know, the other side, you know.